You're listening to The Dice Men Cometh, proudly sponsored by Area 52, Tasmania's largest independent pop culture retailer. Find them at 104 Elizabeth Street, Hobart, or online at area52.com.au.
The Dice Men Cometh!
Good evening, everybody. This is The Dice Men Cometh on Edge Radio 99.3 FM. Brought to you this week by our good friends at Area 52.
Sound excited, Leon?
I am excited. I'm half sick and dead. We did things and now we're tired.
Oh, man.
You've broken up my flow, man.
Sorry, dude.
Anyway, it is the 2nd of November, this lovely Thursday, episode 188.
What was that?
What is that's the episode number.
Really?
Which episode is it?
188.
Oh, I wish it was 166.
Anyway, besides the point. So what did we do last weekend? We went to Melbourne and we went to PAX and we did a whole bunch of crazy stuff.
And you saw Thor Ragnarok.
We did, and we were so tired that we then did a Kiwi accent for a good 24 hours.
Rather than research and prepare an introduction, you're just going to have an accent.
Pretty much. That's the way you get away with this.
Good work, team.
Yep.
Well, I can highly recommend everyone see that film because it is a very funny film. And if you love...
Would you call it hilarious?
Kiwi accents like I do.
In a few years, it'll be a classic.
It's fully sick.
What have we got on this week?
God's
well, sake. We're not going to talk about dick builders, but we are going to talk about our trip to PAX. We're going to have an interview with some of the amazing board game industry at PAX. We're going to talk about the highlights, the lowlights...
The
fast lights, the slow lights.
The general lights.
And all those other lights. We're going to talk about, speaking of slow lights, we're going to talk about Garth's panel.
Hey!
And
we have some special guests.
We have got some special guests in the studio. They're from the circus.
Nerds.
And we're going to be talking about the circus and PAX and all other gaming things right after this.
Well, there you go. That was The Preachers with Girlhood. You are with The Dice Men Cometh on Edge Radio 99.3 FM. Mark, PAX, we went there. You've got numbers.
Garth, you know who wasn't at PAX? But they could have been.
Who?
Area 52, our proud sponsors of tonight's show. They're our friendly local game store in 104 Elizabeth Street, Hobart, with board games, card games, jigsaws, anime, manga. I think those two things
Don't
are the same things.
The pop. Figurine
and the
again.
Pop Funko vinyls.
I'm more excited about the game that we just got from them about 35 minutes ago.
Well, it was one of the games we played at PAX.
We'll talk about
Let's
it later.
Let's get to that in a minute. So, PAX. It's a video game convention if you haven't heard of it, but slowly and surely it's growing into a video game and board game convention because when we first went, when I first went and you guys were just a twinkle in your mother's eyes. A few years back, it was probably about 5% board games. Now I'd say it's getting up to about 30%.
It's pretty massive, isn't it?
And we could have used a lot more tables as
well.
That's
right.
We could have. There were a lot.
I've got some figures.
Yeah?
So
not
there
fuggers.
There were
He's got one figure we know of.
There were eight.
It's a figure of eight.
It's a very attractive figure, yes. Speaking of eight, there were 880 free play spaces. There was at least that again in the role play area, and there was at least that again in the tournament area. So you're talking about around about 2,500 seats for playing board games at PAX.
And they were filled from open till closed.
How bloody hard was it to be able to pick up a game from the very extensive library?
Yep.
And then find a table to actually play it.
Well, as we will probably say in a minute, Mark and myself, we did a bit of work there as actual tabletop teachers, and we spent most of our days as bloody ushers just trying to get people into seats. It was great. It was like the Academy Awards, except not quite as glitzy.
So the reason that there were so many people playing games, firstly, everyone loves games.
Yeah.
But secondly, there is a library of games at PAX, over 1,000 games in this library, over 750 unique titles.
The other 250 are all Catan, though.
Yeah.
Almost. But these games were in constant rotation over the weekend. At some stages on the... I think Saturday was probably peak board game.
Yeah.
There was probably only about 30 or 40 games of those 1,000 that were left in the library.
And they were
Twilight Imperium 3rd yeah. edition.
Which somebody did check out, but then checked back in very quickly.
Diplomacy.
Yeah.
Which you're not going to play Diplomacy.
Well, Leon
Archipelago
and I...
Archipelago got checked out.
Yeah.
And we all know how much everyone loves Archipelago, don't we?
Well, Leon and I both managed to talk someone out of checking out Mansions of Madness 1st edition, the one that's not app-assisted, because we all know that's a one versus many where you're probably setting yourself for an hour to set up the game before you even start playing. But look, there was just a constant flow of people through the board game library.
I did teach a group to play Cash and Guns, and then yep. after that they wanted to play Eldritch Horror. And I said, there's eight of you. It's going to take 5 or 6 hours minimum.
Have you all got 3-day passes?
And then four of them left, and I went, now I can teach it to you. Because now it's only going to take a few hours.
Well, look, some more facts from the board game library. The most popular title all weekend.
Yeah.
You want to take a guess, Garth? No, you're wrong.
King Domino.
How did you guess?
No, because there were so many copies of it.
Yeah. Was it King or Queen?
It was King Domino was the most popular. And there were about, that I saw, probably 8 or 10 copies.
You mean SDJ winner King Domino.
That's right. And then probably another 6 maybe of Queen Domino, which I must admit, having learned it over the weekend, is just a bit of a step up from King Domino. But once you know King Domino, you can certainly play Queen Domino.
Yeah, because as you said, the games library was huge and there was heaps of retailers there, people buying all the new hotness and all that kind of things. But there were 3 games there. As far as we can tell, you only needed 3 games because that's all anyone wanted. And as you said, there was Queen and King Domino.
Yeah.
The other one was Magic Maze,
which we'll talk about.
And then the other one was Photosynthesis.
Ooh,
well, Catan, to be sort of fair, there was probably about 15 copies of Catan.
That was because of the
probably
tournament,
another
though.
10 copies of Star Trek Catan.
Yeah.
There was a lot of Catan.
There's about 10 King of Tokyos as well, but they were all for the tournaments that happened.
There was heaps of those.
Which, let's get it out of the way, I have to say it, otherwise she will slap me purple. my wife...
I thought you liked that.
That's very true. No, it's blue. They're different. Anyway, depending on if it's my birthday or not. Anyway, my wife won a King of Tokyo tournament.
Which is awesome. Yep, she got this really beautiful golden PAX.
Yep.
Like a
medal.
Thing.
It was a golden medal that said tabletop champion or something on the back of it.
Yeah.
Which she's now going to lord over me for years. Until I win one next year. No, I'm not going to.
So Leon and I spent a couple of shifts, 4-hour shifts, teaching people games. And it was fabulous because, well, for me, I really enjoyed the, we're looking for a game. My friends like this sort of game. What do you recommend? And then wandering around through all these games and trying to find something.
And telling people what to do.
Yeah, exactly. I love that. I found that fun, as well as the people who... one of the great things about PAX is that the video game section finishes at 6 p.m. and the tabletop game section is open till 11 p.m. So all these people who sit in front of screens all day and don't know about our amazing world of board games sort of go, what do we do now when it gets to 6 o'clock? And they look down and see all these tables where people are laughing and having fun and go, oh, that looks like fun, and walk down. And then we get to introduce them to all these amazing games like King Domino, like Magic Maze, like Catan, like Photosynthesis.
Mysterium, I taught 4 times.
Yeah, wow.
I think, even after all these years. It's a perfect convention game. People see it and go, what's that? I want to play it. It looks colourful.
Well, even old school things like 7 Wonders I taught, Dominion I taught. It's great to see you sort of forget about those games because we've moved on past that entry level. But it was great to see people having fun with those games.
That was going to be my point, is that for us real gamers, it's great to see that the video game community comes along and supports the board gaming hobby, and the games that we know and the games that got us into the gaming habit as well, which are these gateway ones, are just in constant rotation. There is your Ticket to Rides and your Carcassones and your Catans, and Machikoro would join those ranks now as well. They are just non-stop. As soon as someone takes them back to the library, they're being collected again, and it's just rinse and repeat, which is brilliant. brilliant. Yeah.
And then you get heaps of crossover as well. Like I saw a lot of people playing the Baldur's Gate Betrayal at House on the Hill. There were none of them in the Lenders Library. People just bought them because they liked the look of the game or they liked the new the video game. And just, yeah, that was on the table all weekend.
The one that I saw that I don't know it ever got back to the table in the library was Portal.
Yeah.
The cake acquisition game. Basically based on the Portal video game. That, as I said, that was in constant rotation.
Well, we did check it out, but then we didn't have time to play it.
No, we did that quite a lot over the weekend, even though we were there constantly doing stuff.
Well, look, let's talk about, let's firstly talk about our hit of the show. So, Garth, what was your hit of the show apart from that time that I punched you?
Oh, look, it is impossible to go past Sunday morning around about 11:30 a.m.
Yep.
The breakfast kebab, you're right.
I held in my hand the 6 most powerful dice that anyone in the history of board gaming have held.
Yep.
Now, it was a team effort, apparently, but there was only one set of hands that was rolling those dice, and it was mine, and we managed to alter history by killing Hitler.
We did.
So I cannot go past the fact that we played Black Orchestra, which was basically pandemic World War II killing Hitler style game, which was so much fun, so interesting from a historical sense, and have to say great artwork by Dan May from Game Salute as well. But it was far and away the most excitement I have ever had in a dice roll this year. It was brilliant.
Well, imagine pandemic where every now and again the diseases lock you up in a small room and punch the bejesus out of you and ask you to tell you what your plans are for eradicating the other diseases. Because I don't know if you noticed, I spent a lot of time in the jail or just outside the jail.
We talked about that before, Mark. That was always going to be your plan.
Anyway,
we're going to be our little Guantanamo Bay sort of person.
We don't want to spend too much time on Black Orchestra because we will do an entire talk about that sometime in the next couple of weeks because it was one of the hits between
that
all
was,
of us.
That was far and away.
Yep.
Just everyone. Yeah. Look, Mark and Leon, just bring yourselves back to that Sunday morning where we rolled the die and we killed Hitler.
Well, five people all throwing their arms up in the air.
We yelled PAX down.
Yeah.
That was amazing. It
and
was
you
so
can,
cool.
You can check out that photo, I think, on Instagram and also on our Facebook page. We did post that moment of triumph, Leon.
And we did have, five people all throwing their hands up in the air going, yay, the whole tabletop area. Hundreds, nearly thousands of people all stopping looking at us. And we said, don't worry, everyone, we just killed Hitler. And then we had half of the people go, yay! that's the way you start a Sunday morning. For me, there was lots of stuff, but back to a classic. On the Saturday night, my crew and I ran some Werewolf, which was awesome fun. And for anyone that actually played that game, there was two things that happened. One was in one turn, the Seer was killed, which is the most important character for the villagers. And at the same time, Josh, who was one of the other moderators with me in the Silver Bullet Society,
He got killed too.
Wow. He ended up being the hunter. So when he died, he could take somebody else out. What he did was stagger into the middle of the circle like he'd been shot, turned around, took his Silver Bullet hoodie, threw it at Sam, the other Silver Bullet moderator, who then fell backwards off his chair, hitting his head on the ground.
Oh,
and then it turned out that he was the bodyguard. So the three most powerful humans in the game were all killed in the one turn, and half of them were people I knew. And then the final day of that game, which was an intense, crazy game, the witch had a decision whether they could kill someone or save somebody. They decided, after 50 minutes of not doing it, to finally save somebody. The person they picked to save was a wolf cub that was trying to sacrifice himself so the next night the wolves could eat even more people. I could not believe it. He let all these innocents die, and I couldn't say a word. And then I said, do you want to save someone? And he pointed straight at the wolf cub, who had 30 seconds earlier had just made the pointing to everyone going, kill me. The next night we can kill all of them. It was unbelievable. So always a great laugh.
Oh, that's so funny. Well, for me, I've got to say, the very first game of the con we played, Photosynthesis.
Yes.
Now, this is the game.
I wonder why you liked this
it
so
doesn't,
much.
I know.
It doesn't sound so fantastic when you talk about, it's a game about growing trees.
Yeah.
And the shade that trees throw when they're growing.
And we threw some shade.
There was a lot of shade going around that table. Sounds like action. A plenty. And it is.
It's mostly science and stuff, and who cares about that nonsense?
Well, look, it's not because that I won. That's not the reason that I love this game that I won by a long way. That's not the reason that I loved it the most, by a long way. But just the beauty of this game with its cardboard trees, where you're throwing seeds.
What do you think those
trees,
cardboard trees are made out of, Mark?
Paper?
It's not very eco-friendly.
Right. Look, one of the things that yelled to me about what a great game this was I saw another group sit down and play Photosynthesis. They stopped 5 minutes after they started. One guy got up and went over to, I don't know if it was Bill Sims or Good Games or whatever.
No, it was the Blue Orange group, the actual distributor
for
the game.
Yep.
That's right.
Bought 4 copies of the game and then walked back down and then they finished their game.
That was one of the Hobart Game Society guys.
And so 5 minutes after they started playing, they knew how good that game was.
And went and bought 4 copies.
And look, I'm sure we're going to talk about it again in another episode, but the cardboard trees, the science, I mean, we're all about the science tonight, people, and the cardboard trees. It was just a beautiful game. Very abstract, but at the same time, it really brought the theme home. So I really enjoyed Photosynthesis. Garth?
Yes?
What would you say your surprise hit of PAX was? What was something you didn't expect to enjoy so much and you did?
Oh, look, it would be really hard to go past Guildmasters.
Ah, that was mine.
Got in first. Now, Guildmasters probably no one has heard of yet because it isn't out yet. So we were very, very lucky to spend a little bit of time with Chris, the designer.
Yeah.
It is an upcoming release by Good Games Publishing that we are hoping, with fingers and toes crossed, that it'll be out in the first half of next year, released on Kickstarter in the first half of next year.
And we'll actually have an interview with Chris next week on the show.
Ah, well, in that case, I won't spoil too much, but needless to say, there is a lot going on that game that tickles all my kind of fancy.
Yeah.
Actual board game-wise, that was my game of the convention.
That's pretty amazing.
But my surprise was that we sat down on, I think it was the first game on Saturday, we sat down to play a game of Royals with Alex. Was it Alex we played with?
Yeah, we did.
And, that was great fun. It's not a game that I would ever pick up off a shelf and go...
It doesn't look like your kind of game, Leon. No. It doesn't have big, shiny plastic meeples. No. And it doesn't have big, bad things eating other big, bad things.
No.
So this is Peter Hawes, so the Australian designer. It's his game. He of Francis Drake fame.
He said Peter.
And I know Trent has a copy, but we've never managed to get it at the table. And it looks... At first glance, like dull and inspiring, where it's just sort of these vague portraits of European royalty.
People looking out into the distance.
That's right.
Smelling their own farts.
But this is a game that should be many, many, many more times more popular in our hobby. I think it's a game that a lot of people should be playing.
Well, it's
and
on
not
the Dice Tower Essentials list. And it's a game that crams so much into 1 hour of gameplay.
Yeah.
It is phenomenal.
Yeah, it was an hour to pretty much teach all of us and play it, and we all had a ball.
And we all lost because Alex, who designed games, actually knows how to play.
Yes, that's right. Well, for me, the surprise hit was Magic Maze. Now, Magic Maze is a Spiel des Jahres-nominated game. And because of that, and because that award is very much aimed at your family who plays the odd game, I sort of thought it was going to be way beneath me. But I had to try it anyway because you want to see what the award is about. I was blown away. And I... couldn't believe that it packed so much fun in, particularly for a group of us, experienced gamers. But secondly, I was then surprised about the award nomination because I wouldn't like to take a family off the street, firstly because that might be their home.
It's also probably not legally a clever thing to do.
No, but to sit them down and say, here you go, here's your first game, play this, I don't reckon they would have done very well.
No, well, it's one of those things that the curious mechanic here is that you're obviously all working together, and we'll talk about this in a future episode, so we're not going to go into it, but the fact that you sit around the table and don't say a word.
You're not allowed to talk.
You have my favourite piece in gaming, which we'll talk about when we talk about this game, but the fact that you have a table of 2 through to 8 players, because this game scales really quite to large player numbers, where you don't say anything.
Well, surely it's just an excuse to make your family shut up. Oh, well, I mean, that's worth $50, surely. Oh,
Is it ever?
And potentially break up after the end of the game because so intense that the staring into someone's eyes, screaming with your eyes, pounding that red pawn on the table. Well, Do something!
We will have that joy later on because at the end of this episode, we are going to introduce some nerds to that game.
Oh.
Because we are lucky enough to have a copy thanks to Area 52. But, Mark, we should probably pause.
Yes, definitely.
We should probably come back and talk a little bit about the people that we met at PAX, don't you reckon?
Definitely. Let's do that right now.
Wow, that ended quite abruptly.
Oh,
that
my goodness.
That was King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard with Wah Wah. You are with the Dice Men Cometh on Edge Radio 99.3 FM. Thanks for that, Mark. Now, part of our job as professional podcasters and radio people is that we have to talk to people when we go to PAX. So Mark and I were kind enough and we spent our time speaking to various people, various designers when we went to PAX. Mark was kind enough to record it all, so push that button and here you go.
Here I am with the always amazing and always informative Alan Chang from Rule & Make. Alan, this has been an awesome PAX for you guys. You've got a huge presence here. Tell us about your PAX experience.
It's been amazing. This is the first time we've actually had a call out of volunteers to help us out. And so we've got a booth full of, I think, 13 different staff members that are helping out. And so I get to relax a little bit. I still don't get to leave the booth, but at least I get to sit down sometimes.
We've been over here checking out the prototype for T2029. Now, obviously, you pulled the Kickstarter. You're going to go away and make it bigger and better. It looks awesome there already.
Yeah.
We're so excited to see it come back again. So tell us a bit about your plans for that, what you can tell us.
Okay, so the only thing we can really say is that it's definitely going ahead. We are still working it out with our retailers and distributors and various partners that's involved in the project. We have some exciting news that we'll have for anyone who's following the project in January.
That's really great news because we're so excited about that. Obviously, we love Ian and his work. The prototype looks awesome. Really excited to see that coming back. Now, the other thing that blew me away was the Smiths of Winterforge. Is that the final production copy in the case there?
No, that's almost final. The final manufacturing prototype actually was done, but it's in transit, and they couldn't get it here by the weekend.
Wow, because we got a very early copy, well before the Kickstarter, and like comparing that to what's in the case there now, that looks amazing.
Yeah, it is, you know, a professionally made prototype, but it's not the manufacturing one. Manufacturing one will have custom meeples, metal coins, all that. So we're just waiting for those to come through.
Recently, you've had the re-release of Entropy, now called
Entropy Worlds Collide.
That's right. And so how's that going? You've been selling that this weekend?
Yeah, we started with a big column of the product, stacked up. And now it's a very slender-looking, tiny little thing.
So yeah.
We're hoping we'll sell out the rest of the stock by the end of this PAX.
So, look, I know you've got so much going on, and you've got people over in Essen right now. Wow. Can it get any bigger and better for you guys, do you think?
There's always room for improvement, yeah.
Is there anything you can tease us about upcoming stuff that we don't yet know about?
No, we have some really exciting projects that we're working on, but they're currently still under wraps.
Fair enough. Well, we know that you're going to give the Dice Men the exclusive when they come, aren't you, Alan?
I'm sure, yes, of course.
Fantastic. Look, congratulations on an awesome PAX, and we can't wait to see T2029 come back again.
No worries. Thank you.
All right, it's Garth here. It's Saturday afternoon on PAX 2017, Mammoth Weekend, and I've been very lucky to find a dark corner with two very special guests who are going to tell us, first of all, who they are and then what the hell they're doing here.
This is Alex Winter with my husky PAX voice.
It's a very sexy voice you've got there going on, Alex.
It's pretty good after 3 days of non-stop talking.
So, Alex, where are you from?
I'm from Victoria.
Yep.
Red Genie Games. We launched the Brigade on Kickstarter not long ago. It was very nicely successful. Done quite a few demos here at PAX.
Yep.
And, yeah.
Wonderful. All right, moving to my right. Who are you?
Dale McCanty.
Yes.
And I run White Cat Press. It's a comics company in Melbourne, Victoria.
Fantastic. So, look,
The reason I've dragged you into this dark little corner here is because some little bird told me that you guys have some pretty exciting news.
That's a loud bird.
A very loud bird, it must be said. Now, I know there's stuff that you have to say before you can tell me what this exciting news is, so who wants to be the terms and conditions?
So it's subject to approval. That's our giant disclaimer in red flashing sort of lights.
Yep, for sure. All right, now who's the salesman? Who wants to tell me what we're talking about?
Yeah, so we've joined up with Fruit Publications to make the official Phantom board game.
Phantom the board game.
Mark would definitely know what the Phantom is.
Exactly right. Yeah, is that because he wears his underpants on the outside of his normal pants?
No, it's because it's the oldest running comic book in the world.
There we go. It's not just Billy Zane.
No, he's considered the oldest superhero.
Fantastic. Now, why the Phantom?
Growing up, I was actually a big fan of the Phantom.
Yep.
And I just noticed from the comics side that they were doing different things.
Yeah, wonderful.
Releasing brand new content by Australian artists and writers.
Mm-hmm.
And I make my own content, and I thought I was a good opportunity to hit them up for a game.
That's fantastic. So the two of you are partnering up as this. You are the co-designers of this game, is that right?
Yeah.
Excellent. So who gets to wear the ring?
The first player, subject to approval.
Of course it is. Now, that's going to be awesome. One of my favourite games is Nothing Personal. One of my favourite reasons for this game is it's all about that capo ring. So that's going to be an awesome bit of loot. Now, can you tell us anything about this game apart from that it's the Phantom?
It's a very fast-paced, sort of smash-and-grab sort of game.
Yep.
So there's an arch-nemesis in this storyline, and she has come and stolen a bunch of treasure, and as the Phantom, it's your job to run into the temple, avoid all the traps that she's set for you, grab the treasure, and try and get out with as much as you can just to save yourself as the temple comes crashing down upon you.
All right, this sounds like an adventure. Are we talking a Merry Trash here? Are we talking minis? What are we talking about? Or what can you say?
A little bit of both. It's a little bit of Merry Trash. It's got a lot of really cool action cards, and all the cards, the artwork will be done by one of the original Phantom cover artists, one of the most well-renowned cover artists in the Phantom world.
Like Glenn Ford.
Glenn Ford, that's fantastic. You guys must be really excited about that.
Yeah, so static, happy.
Yeah, that's amazing. Now, when are we going to be able to see something? When are we going to be able to see anything about this, get our hands on it, or is it all about speculation at this stage, subject to approval?
If you put this interview on in about 6 months, you'll hear a lot about it.
All right, so we are talking. It's Saturday, the 28th of October. Keep that in mind if you're listening late. So, look, this is really exciting, guys. Another Australian games company who's going to have
a license. A proper license, yeah.
And a world-known license and a world-known superhero.
It's huge news.
You guys must be absolutely stoked for what you're going to be able to do.
Yeah, it's incredible. It's, like, we know it's big in Australia, but it's actually quite large still around the world.
Yep.
Scandinavia, even India, America as well. He's still a very popular character.
Mm-hmm.
And he hasn't had a game about him in probably 30 years, so
that's great. Well, I can't remember that because I'm sure I'm under 30.
One of the most amazing things I think is going to happen with this game and Kickstarter is that we're hoping to release the exact trilogy of comics that this game has been born from.
Sure.
As part of the Kickstarter deal, so you'd get the game and the set of comics that the storyline would encompass.
That's going to be cool. All right, guys. Well, I'm going to take us out of this dark corner because people are starting to worry. We'll wrap it up there. I just want to say thanks, Dale. Thanks, Alex.
No problem.
Thank you.
And thank you, Phantom.
So, Shannon Kelly, you have just had a fantastically successful Kickstarter with Lucidity Six-Sided Nightmares.
Yep, that's right.
How's PAX been for you?
Yeah, it's been really good. It's the first time I've ever been on a panel. I got to wander around, meet heaps of backers, got to play some Monster Hunter, which was pretty cool.
Nice.
And saw the Hand of Fate finished copy, really, which was absolutely beautiful.
You've met some of the backers. They've come here. They've seen the final product. Now, you've been in the booth with, is it Long Pack Manufacturing?
Yeah, Long Pack Games.
Yeah, tell me that story.
Well, I knew pretty early on that I was going to be manufacturing with them because they could do the best price for the dice, and they were also really, really easy to work with. So because I'd been talking them up the whole Kickstarter through, I think they said, look, we're going to be at PAX. We're happy to offer you some table space if you want to come along and demo your games. So save me having to look around for a table every day.
Yeah, and great thing, I guess, also bringing people to their booth, giving it a bit of life to it, giving them more opportunity to play games.
Yeah. It was cool seeing some of the stuff that's coming out, like the giant edition of King Domino and stuff like that, which I'm pretty sure you can only play on the floor. And it was wonderful sort of meeting backers. I got pulled aside on the floor maybe once or twice by people, which is a very new experience.
Oh, fantastic. Well, enjoy the fame. Trust me, it doesn't last for long. You've got your fantastic Kickstarter. Of course, you've still got to deliver the games, but what's up next for you?
Right now, it's trying to get Lucidity completely off to the press. At the moment, I thought it was all done, but as these things do, one or two components came back with changes that we need to make to the graphics. My graphics designer's at Essen this weekend, so there's a slight delay on that. But once that's done, I will rest easy, start on the 5-to-8 player mode that I promised everybody during the Kickstarter, and then I'm moving on to the next game, which is Six-Sided Spellbox.
Wow, that sounds interesting. So you've got some amazing-looking dice, I must say, so the more games you can get those into, the better.
I'm hoping to do it for at least one more. The next one after that is probably going to be a card game that I've been working on for about 5 years and commissioning art all the while for, but I figured, I mean, originally Six-Sided Spellbooks had all of the art done for a family-friendly version of Lucidity, which was fantasy-themed, kind of like how the Golem edition came out for Century.
Yes.
And in the end, I decided that it would be better to keep the dream theme, which means now I have all of this art of arcane professors that I need to use. I have all of the dice molds from the previous game. And when I started trying to convert the themes on it, I started adding and tweaking little things to it. And that turned into a whole new game.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, now that's turning that into something playable, really.
Well, we really look forward to seeing how that one goes. Congratulations again on the success of Lucidity. Dream run for you as far as the campaign goes.
Great pun.
Yes. And look, we appreciate your support, and we'll certainly be keeping a close eye on you, sir, because I think you're one to watch.
Oh, thank you very much. It's been great listening to your podcast.
Excellent. So that was just a few of our friendly neighbourhood game producers here in Australia. All good people, all make good games. You should very much support them. Now, Garthington.
Hello.
You were on some sort of panel, weren't
you? I was, but before we do that, we've got to go some...
Yeah, some breaking news.
Mark.
Exclusive. Just, I think it was on Monday or Tuesday, it was announced that Foxtail Games Lucidity Six-Sided Nightmares, produced by Shannon, or designed by Shannon Kelly, who was the last person we were speaking to then, has been signed by Renegade Games, the producer of Clank, amongst other amazing things.
What about Clank in Space?
And Clank in Space, to put out the retail version of Lucidity. How awesome is that? For Shannon, it's his first game, although, as he said there, he's designed a couple of other games before this one, but this was the first one to come out. Being signed by an awesome big studio like that, going to get worldwide coverage.
It's pretty bloody amazing.
And it just shows what we can do.
Australia.
Good on you, you little Aussie battlers.
Well, he was going for 14-odd thousand on his Kickstarter. Gets $160,000, thank you very much, because here's 80 personalised dice. And now he's getting retail space. It's phenomenal.
He did have some very good publicity, though.
I was going to say, it does show the power of podcast advertising. That is for sure. Now, Garth.
Anyway, yes, Leon, I did have a panel. Thank you very much for asking before Shannon so elegantly took my thunder.
With all his, you know, good stuff he does in his life.
Yeah, his actual talent.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yes, I was on a panel.
Garth, you made your panel debut at PAX.
Yes.
Some of us have done a couple of panels, but you had to have your first time. Had to pop your panel cherry.
Exactly right. Did you win last year?
Maybe.
Turn your mic up a little bit. I can't hear you, Mark.
I can't remember. It was a long time ago, you know.
The memory's a bit grey. So, look, yes, I was on the panel, which I'm sure the listeners are very tired of hearing about, but I'm sorry. You're going to hear about a little bit more. So, the topic was, are new tabletop games overrated compared to the classics, or are board games just genuinely getting better? Is better even the right way to look at this? Are games more innovative? Is everything just derivative? Or something older? Like, has everyone just copied the classics and turned them into something else? Is variety the spice of life, or do we have too much of a good thing? And clearly, the answer was a resounding, nah. Everything's pretty bad.
Yeah.
But the one thing that is good is the classics.
Who'd have thought nerds being negative about things?
Right? I am very proud to say that the team that I was on, which was Dan May from Game Salute, there was Derek from GoTo Game, and there was yours truly, were triumphant over that horrible, horrible affirmative team made up of Alex from the Brigade and of the TGDA.
And of the Phantom game we just heard about.
And the Phantom game, which is an enormous IP for him to get. That's phenomenal.
He was so scared of you being on the opposite side, he couldn't even speak.
He lost his voice.
Yeah.
So we had to get a ring in Alex, who was David, who was good as Alex.
Yeah.
Probably better than Alex actually is.
Yeah, no doubt.
Then we had Anna from Defiant Development, who is clearly, clearly a games knowledge expert par none.
Yep.
She knows everything there is about video games and was very kind enough to translate that into board game speak for all of us board game nerds. And then we had formerly Dice Lady Tanya, who we can't speak to anymore.
Yeah, no.
Surely wasn't allowed to speak to her anymore.
She's gone.
So she was on the other side and she was talking about how art is beautiful in good games. Seriously?
Yeah. Well, she's an artist. What do you expect?
Classics. I mean, she might have worked for Disney. But what does she know about art?
Who did Disney think
anyway,
look. Diz who?
They're no DreamWorks.
The whole point of this is really to say, we won!
Yes.
And thank you very much to Rule and Make for putting on what everyone is hoping will be an annual great tabletop debate.
Yes.
Thank you very much to Rule and Make for getting me a speaker's pass so I didn't have to teach games. I could just walk around.
You lucky balls.
And remember, Rule and Make, who are listening, it is Leon's turn next year. That's L-E-O-N, his turn next year to be on the panel. He's very dynamic.
I just want to say a big thanks to everyone who turned up at the graveyard shift, because being a panelist on a Friday night at 9:30 after a long, long day of gaming, whether it be video or board gaming, it was lovely to see a crowd turn up and be able to watch the six of us prattle on about games. And doesn't matter whether we were right or we were wrong. Point is, we were right. Doesn't matter that we won or lost. Point is, we won. Let's it. It was a great night. It was a great weekend. Thank you very much, and hallelujah.
And look, while we're thanking people, we want to thank the amazing people at Area 52 who sponsor our podcast tonight and the many, many weeks. And, of course, in case you didn't know it, what's Thursday night, boys?
It's comic book
night. It's comic book night. Yeah. You can pick up all your
comic books.
IDW.
Yes.
Image comics.
Yes, the only one.
As well
you need.
As your Marvel and your DC and all those things. They've got it all there in trade paperback form, as well as what do you call that other type of comic that's not trade paperback?
I mean, like single issues? Or
that's the one. Like, yeah, you've got
omnibuses
those as well.
And stuff.
Yeah, yeah. You've got all that stuff. Thank you so much, Area 52, for your support. Now, we're going to come back. We've got a couple of circus people. I'm not going to call them clowns. But we've got some funny circus people. They have literally come straight from a circus. Not just any circus. It's a science circus.
Woo!
We're going to be talking to them next here on Edge Radio 99.3 FM with the Dice Men Cometh and circus guests.
So they dissect the elephants? Is that how that works? It's confusing. Or the clowns even.
See, that I'd get a pay to see.
I would too.
Hello everybody, just Leon here. I should probably apologise for my voice straight off the bat. You can probably tell I'm still suffering from the post-PAX lurgy, but I'm not complaining, because the reason I actually got to go to PAX was because of you lovely people. Because of you, we now have sponsors, which are here every week, and the reason we have those sponsors is because they're all really good people, and they actually have products that we do want to tell you about and support. We will not take on any sponsors that we don't believe in, so we've pushed them to you as best that we can, because they're all pretty good people. But also, we get to go to places like that because of you guys, and because we have a Patreon. And on our Patreon, you can go over there and throw us a few dollars if you like the show. You can give as much as you want, but as I've asked you before, all we ask is $1. If everybody that's listening to this right now gave us $1 a month, something which comes out of your bank account, you absolutely would not even notice that it was gone. I do it myself for about 20 different podcasts. They all come out at different times of the month. I could not even tell you when they come out. It doesn't matter. $1 is absolutely nothing. But the people on the other end, they definitely appreciate it. So if you have a chance to go over there and do that, that would be lovely. Also, if you want to chuck us some reviews on iTunes, the cheeky 5 stars to help get the viewership up, then we get to do more stuff like coming to conventions where we get to meet you guys. We've met a lot of you guys already, and we absolutely love it. We love playing games with you. This last PAX, we played games with several, not just developers, but with you guys as well, and we want to keep doing that. We want to keep doing that for a long time to come, but, you know, it is costly coming from Tasmania to fly to the rest of Australia, and hopefully in the next year or so, maybe even around the world. So we want to do that. We just need your support. Also, if you actually want to become a sponsor of our show, be it one of our weekly sponsors or have a featured ad on our show, which we really enjoy doing, feel free to get in contact with us. It is dicemencometh@gmail.com. We love you all. Hope you keep enjoying listening for years and years to come. Thanks very much.
Oh, a bit of a slick beat there from Miles de Carteret with Honey here on Edge Radio 99.3 FM. Now, going from something sweet to something that's also sweet, we've got two of the performers from the Shell Questacon Science Circus. You can't get any nerdier than that. And the amazing thing is we've got Kendall and we've got Joe. Now, Joe's actually a friend of ours that we played board games with. She used to live in Melbourne. We played board games with her there. Now she's moved to Canberra. We're hoping to go there and play board games with her. But she's also one of the amazing presenters in the Shell Questacon Science Circus, currently touring Tasmania. Welcome, Kendall and Joe.
Thanks so much for having us along, guys. It's great to be here.
Now, surely you can't get much nerdier than a science circus, can you?
Well, we don't like to use the word nerdy, to be honest, because we think that everyone's got a bit of a fascination with science.
Totally.
Whether they know it or not, science is pretty cool.
It is cool, that's for sure.
It's pretty cool. So, but look, we are a travelling troupe of scientists who are studying science communication at the Australian National University, and this is actually part of our course. This is what we do for study. We get
wow.
to go.
This is work?
Yeah.
I was going to say, if someone said, oh, you're going to study at university and part of that is going to be you're going to go travelling around Australia,
that's
putting
right.
on a show for school kids?
That's right, yeah, we do. We do shows in both primary school groups and high school groups, and we also do shows at big public science exhibitions where we've brought a bunch of science exhibits from Questacon, which is the National Science and Technology Centre in Canberra.
Yeah.
And we basically pack a big truck full of cool science stuff and we bring it to regional and remote areas. And, of course, Tassie has been so good to us so far. We've been here for a couple of weeks already and we're here for a couple of weeks still.
Yeah, now I remember you were travelling around and you said you were coming to Tasmania and we were like, great, we can hook up a board
super
games
exciting.
Night. We'll
yeah.
like we'll squeeze it in.
Yep.
I was thinking you were going to be here for like, you know, the whirlwind tour 3 or 4 days, but you're here like forever.
That's right, yeah. We've got a big tour of Tassie, so we're here for a total of 4 weeks. We started up north,
mm-hmm.
And the team was split between a couple of different areas. We've been to Stanley, we've been to Devonport, we've been to Queenstown, St. Helens. I'm losing track.
Yeah, yeah.
Scottsdale, Burnie. There we go, Burnie.
Yeah. And you were telling us before about, you know, you've been to Oatesville.
Oatesland.
Molesville.
Molesville.
Mole Place. Yeah, look, it does turn into a bit of a blur for us. We travel a lot, but we visit. Part of the point of the Science Circus is to bring the joy of science and the kind of stuff you get in a big science centre like
yeah.
Questacon to places that don't otherwise get to experience that. So get to experience the joy of having interactive science exhibits that you can get really hands-on with and also get to share in the joy that people like myself and Kendall have in science because we love it. That's what we love.
Yes.
And we love talking about it and we love showing people how cool it is. And as most board gamers are already aware, there's a massive crossover between STEM and board gaming. I mean, there's not
yeah.
just a bunch of really popular titles that are based entirely on scientific topics. You were talking about photosynthesis
yes.
earlier. I haven't played it yet. I'm super excited about it. But also, you know, there's some more classic games that are based in science and mathematics, of course,
yes.
as well. And, you know, favourites, like one of my favourites is Dominant Species, and it's all about, you know, different categories of animals and how they fight it out for environmental, basically, domination.
Well, supremacy, really. Yeah, supremacy, and I'm so glad that you love it because you've been doing this since January, is that right?
Yeah.
Been on the road for the whole of 2017.
Well, we go on and off.
Yep.
So we travel for, I think it's a total of 12 weeks of the year. So we've done a couple of long tours and a couple of shorter tours. The long tours are, I mean, they're super exciting, and there is 16 of us travelling together plus some tour coordinators. We have a really good time. I mean, it is a little bit like a science school camp in some ways. So if you wanted to see something that you could consider to be truly nerdy, then all you have to do is go on a bushwalk with a bunch of us in some of our time.
Yes. I'm more concerned that Mark's mind went straight to sort of going on a school camp with Walter White and just looking for that's delicious.
My kind of science.
Yeah, I think so.
But look, I wanted to ask Kendall. So you're the liquids expert. I'm curious about what that means, or have I been led up the garden path there?
So there's a couple of us that do shows about fluids, which include liquids, but also gases, for everybody that's interested. We just talk about the properties of that, took a look at some non-Newtonian fluids as well.
Yeah.
So fluids that act differently when you apply forces, pushes, pulls. I punch some slime, someone else punches some slime. They get pretty slimy. It's a great time. So there's a lot of different shows that we do in primary and high school,
yeah,
as well as doing workshops with teachers to help them get inspired and use things that you just have in your everyday that you might not consider in a scientific sense.
Yes.
And bring them into the classroom. It doesn't have to be the science classroom. We show them some marshmallow catapults. You can use that to explain science, look at angles, maths, the materials you're using, but also you can just have a little bit of fun.
Yes.
Bring that into the history classroom. And
oh, look, kids, the French people use these trebuchets. Catch the marshmallows, boys.
Well, after 100 years war, you might as well start flinging marshmallows.
So, look, it sounds like a load of fun. Now, I'm imagining in my mind the sort of the crossover of all those really weird YouTube videos where, you know, like Mentos.
What ones are you watching?
Yeah, not those ones. No, like Mentos and Coke bottles and stuff. And then like Mythbusters and all that stuff, like the time that they tried to run across a pool and they did the whole non-Newtonian solid thing with, is it corn flour? That's one of the things you do?
Yeah, so the cornflower slime is the one that I use, the non-Newtonian fluid.
Yes.
It's pretty glorious. And it is a little bit like that. So we do try to use very common things like cornflower most people have in their kitchen. But we also talk about things that some people find a little scary.
Oh.
So we have shows about fire. We have Joe does a show that's about magic and confronts some of those bigger, more glorious magic type experiments.
It's a little bit Mythbustery.
Yeah,
it's
awesome.
A little bit Mythbustery.
Looks like magic.
Oh, so it's like that, huh? You know, you thought this was a magician's trick, but look, it's actually science.
So you're teaching us stuff without teaching us stuff.
I know.
Damn you, educators.
For the love of learning. But we have other things as well. So we do shows, and then we've got all these interactive exhibits, and we've got, like, cool things that you can challenge your family and friends on as well. Like, we've got a display called Batak, which is essentially a reaction time display.
Yeah, so ninjas.
Kind of, yeah, it's a little light-up thing where you have to press the buttons that light up. And it is a fun game that you can challenge someone to, but it's also a genuine tool that is used for training people, like elite sports people and that kind of thing.
Formula One drivers.
Drivers use it for their reaction times and stuff. So it is, yeah, it's really good fun, but it's also applied science, and it's stuff that's perhaps not often thought of as science.
That's good.
Stuff that people do every day that they don't think about.
Well, you better tell us where the lovely people of Tasmania can still see this, because you are in your last, week and a bit of running this, so there's not many opportunities left that people have to go and see you guys and all this delicious science. So where are they going to be able to see you next over the next week and a bit?
So this Saturday we're going to be in Launceston. 10 till 4 at Albert Hall.
All right, so that's the 4th of November.
The 4th of November. Yeah. Then Tuesday, the 7th of November, we're in New Norfolk.
Woohoo!
And we'll be at the Derwent Valley PCYC.
There you go.
And for the next show, which is also an after-school show like the Tuesday one in New Norfolk, we're going to be in Kingston on the 9th of November, the Thursday, between 4 and 7 at the Kingsborough Sports Centre. And then our final show, both in Tasmania and for our year touring, is in Hobart at the Derwent Entertainment Centre, 10 a.m. till 4 p.m. on the 11th of November.
Yep.
So
you're not allowed to forget that day because it is Remembrance Day.
That's right.
So
that's
right. Everyone has to be at that show because you can't forget about it.
That's right.
Okay. It's science.
There you go. It's science. It's not magic.
It's science. That's
and look, for those people... there may be some, I don't know, who haven't heard of Questacon, which is obviously where you guys have come from Canberra. It's more than a science museum, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. It's an interactive science experience. It really is. Questacon is the National Science and Technology Centre, and it's got a huge range of different science demonstrations that you can get involved with yourself.
Yeah, okay.
And that's really what Questacon is all about. It's about people actually getting the chance to engage with science themselves rather than just watching YouTube videos or listening to lectures or reading
watching
textbooks.
Watching Mythbusters.
Exactly. It's about actually getting people hands-on with science.
Oh,
and
fantastic.
You do learn so much more by doing that. And we bring a little part of that with us when we travel with the circus. So we really would love for everyone to come along.
Yes. Well, between that and the War Memorial, Canberra is almost worth visiting.
And the National Gallery, Garth. Come on, get some culture.
Love Questacon. They love going down that slippery dip thing where you feel weightless. Yeah, they love going on there and feeling an earthquake and going down to the water play area at the bottom. It's awesome.
All right. Now, Garth, as usual, we're almost out of time. So thank you so much to Joe and Kendall for popping in and talking to us about science and the Shell Questacon Science Circus.
It's an absolute joy.
It is so awesome. Now, Garth.
Oh, hang on before we do that. So next Saturday, when the ladies are having their final show on the 11th, so the big science thing, we're all going to be there. We're all going to bring our families. I'm going to take my nieces. It's going to be great. But also that night, what can everybody in Hobart do? They can come to our sponsors at Area 52 for the giant game of werewolf that I will be hosting. So just to bring it all together, it could be the funnest day in the history of all fun days.
Science and killing all in one day.
Exactly. Anyway, now, back to the real show.
I was going to say, quickly before we finish up, though.
Yes.
Garth.
We have a competition.
A competition!
So, we were very lucky to have some time with Matt Lee from the Campaigner magazine, which is Australia's premier tabletop gaming magazine.
Oh, and we're not just talking about like some online zine sort of thing. This is like a real physical
magazine
with pages
and stuff.
You throw
on your coffee table and you read and your family members go, what are you reading? And you go, I'm reading Australia's premier tabletop magazine, The Campaigner. Well, we are very proud to say that they are going to give away 1 year's subscription, which is 4 issues because it is a quarterly publication. In order to do that and be part of the select few that get to be in the running, all you need to do is go to the Campaigner magazine website, which is, not surprisingly, thecampaignermagazine.com, you have to send us an email or send us a tweet or send us a something on Instagram
or
as Leon
Facebook
likes
message.
To do,
yep.
He likes to Facebook us all the time and tell us what game is featured on the cover of the Campaigner magazine. Send in an entry telling us what game that is.
On a particular issue, is it, Garth?
Issue 21. We're talking right now.
Yep.
It's right there on the website for the Campaigner magazine, yep. Which is, again, thecampaignermagazine.com. Send us an entry and you'll be in the running to win one of one.
A unique prize.
A very unique prize, which is a year's subscription to the Campaigner magazine. We were very lucky to get a copy of issue 21 and Matt does an amazing job with him and his team.
Yes.
And it's phenomenal to see that an Australian publication is now out there all about tabletop gaming.
And look out for potentially more Dice Men content, maybe?
There's possibility. And also, while you're on the website, why don't you just subscribe yourself and, you know, buy the magazine always, you cheapskates, because it's a good read. Anyway, back
all
to
right.
you.
So, dicemencometh@gmail.com or Facebook messages or any other way you can manage to get in contact with us about that competition. Are we going to draw the winners of that one next time, Garth?
No, we're going to run this for at least
a month. Let that go for a couple of weeks or so. Totally. Fantastic. Look, thank you so much to everyone for listening in. Thank you so much to Joe and Kendall from the Shell Questacon Science Circus for dropping in tonight. And thank you to our amazing supporters, Area 52, for supporting us. We're going to be back next week with more packs. But until then, play lots of games, have lots of fun, and love science. See you next week. Bye.
Bye.
This has been another episode of The Dice Men Cometh, proudly sponsored by Area 52, offering comics, books, card games and board games for the whole family. Find them at 104 Elizabeth Street, Hobart, or online at area52.com.au. And find us online at thedicemencometh.com.